across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, I'm going to introduce a new verb into our vocabulary today. I want to say, let's go fractal. We need to go fractal, guys. If you realize that every time humanity comes up with a new concept of physics, life around the planet changes. It's like consciousness shift due to our understanding of the physics and of the universe. Consider when we were in Newtonian physics, the ideas of force, right? And that was the industrial age and how much we could do with that, with the printing press, right? The ability to pump out documents that go out to thousands of people. But of course, there was a lot of work in the printing press. There was a lot of stuff going on. Currently, we're in the quantum age, right? We're in the atomic age where quantum physics rules. And the concept of quantum dynamics is minimum input, maximum output. And we are in that quantum stage now. If you consider now, you can just put out a tweet and billions of people will see it around the world. It could become a viral meme and no printing press, no effort, no nothing. Minimum input, maximum output. That is the state of the atomic age, the quantum physics that we are currently under. So when we're looking for solutions to these world's problems, we got to realize that the solutions are the most simple. And that is the hardest thing to get into the minds of the menticidal lunatics around us that don't understand how easy life can be. But to bring it all into focus and to try and show you how simple life can be, we have another traveler here, another nomad, one that has just wandered the wistful life and found his way through all that wander are not lost and found life through inspired vision. So please welcome tonight to the Free Zone, Jim Gale from foodforestabundance.com. And we are here to change the world. Jim, welcome to the Free Zone.
Awesome, Freeman, man. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm very eager and impassioned to share this message, this simple message, with everybody I possibly can, and then to create the structure whereby we can empower and implement this idea. You know, it was Victor Hugo who said, there's one thing stronger than all of the armies of the world, and that is an idea whose time has come. Well, were those just words? Was this just a guy talking poetically? No, there is one thing stronger. And the statement, an idea whose time has come, implied that the idea already exists, and now it's time to implement that idea. And the idea is quite simply the Garden of Eden. And I'm not talking about from a really a dogmatic religious perspective. I understand very clearly that the church has been used as a pillar of enslavement. What I'm talking about is this idea of perennial edible landscapes, fruit trees and berry bushes, and the tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of different species of perennial plants that could be literally everywhere and that aren't. And why aren't they? Well, that's part of the control grid as well, which we can get into.
Absolutely. It's something, you know, as a nomad myself, and I've seen that you have traveled the world, you have gone around, experienced life. And as a nomad myself, as I traveled around the country, I don't eat fast food. I don't eat the crap. When I'm on the highway, I have the worst time ever trying to find some sort of sustenance to exist on. Due to the poisons that are sold to people as food. And you wander around and you see all this space, you see all this ability, you see all these hungry people, and you wonder, you know, why are we not growing food? And then on the other side of this, I was in California wandering through a retirement community. Everybody had a grapefruit tree in their backyard. Everybody had a fruit tree, an orange tree, a lemon tree, but mostly grapefruit. And these things were just falling on the ground. I would wander around and just pick up grocery bags, you know, enough for me, enough for everyone, enough to give away of things that had just fallen off the trees there. When I would walk into the same grocery store in the same place and spend $2 for that same grapefruit. And I mean, the people that are growing the trees aren't even caring. They don't eat it. They just let it all fall in the ground. It's amazing. But it was the best damn grapefruit I'd ever eaten.
Absolutely. So I was going through a really tough time about 14 years ago, studying very intently the problem of the world. I had just sold a mortgage company. I had all what I thought was a lifetime's worth of abundance and wealth. And little did I know, right? But so I was studying, and then I read Bill Mollison's quote, "Though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple." And this is the guy, he's the founder of this science of permaculture, which means permanent. It started as permanent agriculture, but then it evolved to mean permanent culture, which is basically another way of saying a sustainable culture, a culture that creates more energy than it takes to maintain itself. And it's so easy and embarrassingly simple to do this once we follow these simple principles. And to start with, we've got 40 to 50 million acres of lawn in the United States alone. When we turn 20, 30, 40% of that lawn into these type of perennial edible landscapes that actually take less maintenance than the lawn, we radically change the world. We reverse mass extinction and deforestation and cancer and diabetes and heart disease and all of the tools of enslavement.
Absolutely. Even depression and everything else because of all of the qualities of actually working in the dirt and working in the garden. The fact that communities would come together, hang out with one another. I mean, it would change everything. And this is what I mean, and you're expressing it perfectly, the idea of going fractal, because it doesn't take a maximum output. It doesn't take that major effort to get this done. It's little bits of us, and then it just expands in the most dramatic exponential way. There's no way to avoid that, right? Nature will find a way. Chaos math has told us that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a buddy, Chad Johnson. He's in northern Minnesota near the tip of Lake Superior. And he, because a lot of people have all these BS belief systems and bad science and bullshit that's in the way of them planting their own future of food. And he has 300 different species of edible and medicinal plants growing around his property. He lives off grid in this cold climate. And he actually did kind of a hermitage for about 7 years, just studying all of the masters of this art of abundance. And now he says, Jim, it's thriving so much that it's going exponential. The animals, the birds, we've seen birds here that have never been seen in the United States. 7 types of frogs, all these different types of turtles. All this life is attracted to the residents, the vibration of his place. And it is expanding because the animals will come into the system and then they'll go out and they'll plant more plants outside. So if we just didn't poison this one system, would literally spread around the world over time.
Wow. It's that simple. Well, I want to hear some of your stories, Jim, of life. Like, this has been an amazing life that you have led. And I think that's where this all begins, is the idea of inspired vision. And, I want to hear about the miraculous life that you've led so that we can get an idea of where this all came from and why you would end up.
Cool. So I grew up in Minnesota on a lake. I had kind of a normal, my dad was a pipe fitter. My mom was a stay-at-home mom till about 14. And then she got into real estate. Wonderful experience. I mostly really enjoyed my childhood. I was knee deep in the mud. I had frogs in my pocket. If I saw a snake, it was the best day I'd catch it and sometimes get bit, but it was the best day ever, right? So they called me Nature Boy. It was a tease. And at times, other times it was just Nature Boy. So I've always loved nature. I've always been so at home, feeling the energy and experiencing the natural systems. One of the biggest pivotal moments of my life was as a wrestler, I was told to write my goals for the first time. I was 19 going on 20 years old, and I'd never written my goals. I had never read a book from cover to cover at that point. I did Cliff Notes for all the book reports in high school. And so when I got my coach, Dr. Gary Rushing, told the whole team, here, fill out this 3-page goal form and bring it back Monday morning. Well, I threw it on my desk. I got really drunk Friday night. Then I got really drunk all day Saturday. Then I started recovering Sunday. By Sunday night, I looked at this piece of paper with consternation and I said, shit, I better get that done because it's for wrestling. The person that left the room Friday and the person that showed up Monday morning were two very different people with very different energies. For the first time in my life, I had created intentionally a vision of my future that inspired me. And in the next 4 years, and in fact, when I handed my goals to Coach, he sat back on his chair with a smirk and he said, these goals are kind of lofty, don't you think? And I knew what he was saying. He was saying, you're fucking crazy. There's no way you can do this.
Yes.
But very politically correct. So, but it was too late because as I was writing, I spent 3 hours or so dreaming of myself. And it was too late because I had already experienced what I had written, which was that I wanted to be a 3-time All-American and national champion. And I ended up being a 4-time All-American and national champ. Thanks to that one thing was the most pivotal thing I ever did for myself.
Wow. I hope people take that to heart. It's hard to know what you want, especially right now.
Can I say it's harder not to?
Yes. 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 Right? You are correct.
Yeah. And that's what I play after the wrestling experience and then traveling the world with a backpack, living in Hawaii for 4 years and all these different countries, living in Pakistan and Chiang Mai and with the Maasai in Africa. I wrote my goals again for the second time. I was 29 and I wrote that I wanted to have $3 million in 3 years. Now I had a teaching degree, which they sent me in the mail for political reasons, because I was inducted in the Hall of Fame and they just wanted me to be a graduate and not a graduate. So I wrote my goals for the second time. I had bartending experience, and 3.5 years later, the company did about $1.3 billion in sales. So my point in that is not to impress, but to impress upon. If you looked at somebody's life and said, who would be the most successful person in this room? It was never me, at least not until I started writing my goals. I was just a C student, very aloof, and just, I didn't pay attention to much. But once I started creating and planting and nourishing the seed, the idea of my future to pay attention to, then that led the way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really been the goal here. It's even in my in some of my lectures, the idea constantly of planting the seed. Like, I don't expect instant growth from what I've been doing over these decades and trying to bring people around to the idea of abundance and liberty and freedom. I knew it was just going to require placing a seed. And then, like you were saying with I think it was Victor Hugo, when the time has come. That the seed would grow. And now the time has come. Yes. The time is here, Jim. This is the moment of change that we have been waiting for.
It's right now. And it is the apocalypse, the lifting the veil, the great awakening, the age of Aquarius. All these things are converging on us right now. It's almost like this is like, I'm very resolute in the knowing that I'm more than the physical body, right? And we all are, of course. And I am a spirit playing what I call a divine game, right? Different names for it. But I reside in this feeling because of the suffering that is going on around the world and the kids and all these different things that if I think about, I could start crying. But there's no amount of sadness or shame or rage in me that can help anybody do anything. And my job, what I've come to, my duty, my joyful obsession is to inspire and empower people to live in faith and courage and abundance and get out of fear and scarcity.
Absolutely. I love the way you put it, selfishly serving.
Yes. Yes. We align our knowing, our understanding of self with serving, it's the ultimate. Like, who gets the best benefit when one person is loving another, the person that's being loved or the person that's doing the loving, right? of course, the person that's doing the loving is the one experiencing the love. So when we can align serving and selfishness, then it becomes a very regenerative process.
Absolutely, folks. This is the nature of the universe that those that wander figure out. I think it's important that there are people that are allowed to be free in our society. And I love that you stumbled into $1 billion by just following your heart and inspired vision and trying to find this. That's what I try to inspire in people, because the concept of future think, of planning out step by step how you're going to get somewhere, is different than what you're talking about, right?
It sure is. In fact, I am less likely to write down a big future goal now than I used to be. It used to be imperative for me to write down a goal, because my level of understanding and consciousness was such that that goal helped me focus. Now, through the practice of deep meditation and plant medicines and ayahuasca and psilocybin and all these different breath works and Wim Hof breathing, now after really diving deep into this, when I need to figure out what my next step is, I allow my mind to go to rest. Sometimes I take a nap, I meditate and just chill out. And then the next idea will come. And that's where the magic has happened. The last 6 months have been pure magic.
Well, I want to hear about that. You remind me of my childhood when I was just lay there in that sunbeam.
Yeah.
And could just be there in this whole other mentality. I love to bring myself back to that. Sometimes I'll just sit around the couch as if I'm six again and feel what it was like when that couch was an entire world and I would have my toys and it would be this whole other dimension of reality going on right there. I try to bring myself back to that often.
Oh, that is so cool. I do similar things like that. I just say, what would it like to be experiencing this reality right now? And I'll just sit in there and imagine that reality, and you can feel what it feels like to experience it. It's such a powerful thing. That's one of the things I don't write the goals as much now as I visualize and feel the goals. It's the act of feeling. And for me, it's through the visualization process. Some people say, I can't visualize anything. You don't need to. It's the feeling that's the most powerful and the most transformative.
Yeah. I have a crystal ball and I have a picture of myself at supposedly around 9 years old. I'm about to take off on my first road trip with my family. I'm sitting at the steering wheel of the RV and the joy on my face. I keep that behind my crystal ball. So whenever I look at my crystal ball, it's my young self smiling back at me. And every day I want to make that kid happy.
Oh, that's so cool. That's powerful.
Wow. Yeah, I live for him for sure. Like, are you enjoying it so far, kid? You know, like this is.
I'm going to practice that. That's a really neat little tweak of thinking there that I haven't thought about before. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything we could do. So tell me about these miracle moments that you've been going through right now. I mean, this is amazing right now. What's going on? We haven't even told anyone yet about the food forest abundance and what you're doing. So let's get into that.
You know, and the fun part for me is explaining and expressing the why from a place where other people can relate to it. And they can say, I can do that, right? So little backstory. So after doing about $1.3 billion in revenue in the mortgage industry and traveling around, I found Costa Rica and I started buying and selling land there. And when I was buying and selling land, I was doing really well. It was still 2006 and 2007. The markets were still hot. I bought this piece and I was going to build a golf course community. And the first thing we did was I bought a fruit tree nursery out, and we built our own fruit tree nursery. And my vision was to have these fruit trees lining every fairway and have it be like a natural habitat for animals, and people could eat constantly while they're golfing and so on. And I got heavy criticism from these two gals right? And they were actually talking bad about me. I heard the rumors that were coming from them. And so I called them up and I invited them into my office. And my goal was to convince them to actually change their thinking and advocate for what we were doing. Well, I failed miserably to change their thinking. They were harsh. They were haters to the max, right? But I still appreciate their message because they're the ones that told me about permaculture. And I was surprised that I hadn't learned about permaculture, right? So I went down that rabbit hole. At the same time, the economy crashed. My $20 million that I had accumulated over the previous few years of worth went down to almost nothing. I did have a lot of land, and even that started going down. So I started asking new questions like, okay, what can I do with this land to serve the market that is in existence now? It was 2010 by now, and I had just lost almost everything. So then we developed a community with the intention of having it be completely self-reliant with food, water, and energy. And it was just amazing, this whole experience. The first thing we did here was plant thousands of fruit trees everywhere. And I learned so much from that community. I brought in anybody who wanted to participate. They would bring in their $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, and they would buy a villa or build a house. But what I didn't know was that the people that we attract are going to be attracted to us based on what our energy is, what our resonance is. And I had just lost so much that I was in this kind of scarcity mentality. So with that mentality, my thought was, I will please everybody. I will do everything I can to make everybody happy. And I created, you know, that road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
Well, I paved that mofo. And I learned so much about people, and I couldn't be where I am now without learning that you can't serve everybody. You have to serve the people who are at least willing to hear your message.
Right.
You know, yeah. There's NPCs. There's all sorts of people out there. I call them stormtroopers. They're not able to hear a message. They've been so deeply programmed by the govern, which means to manage or control, and mente, which means mind, that it's very, very, very hard to get through. Now, I never give up. I never stop trying, but I stop putting my energy there because that energy does not reflect back in a very sustainable way. So my energy goes where it is most effective now.
Right. That's a key ingredient to learning how to function in this existence. And, but it really, it takes a child's mind to say, why isn't there food everywhere? Why is the food behind fences in the first place? And then why isn't there food everywhere? It doesn't make any sense, since it would just grow and grow and grow. And this is something my entire life have thought, and even tried a plan like yours, where as I wandered around, I kept suggesting to people food, not lawns, and trying to get them to start doing this. Or even further into the future, when Occupy happened in 2012, yep. And I was going to them and scolding all of the Occupy people that have been sitting there for 3 months. And I'm like, well, how many, inner city gardens have you created while you're just sitting here in your tent, just holding up a sign thinking you're changing the world?
Right. It's, I consider myself, for a long time, I was a libertarian just because I believe in freedom. I believe that humanity is generally very good and that government is what causes the problems, propagates the problems of our world for the most part, right? So I believe like the word monarchy means ruled by one or one ruler. The word anarchy simply means no ruler. It doesn't mean chaos. In fact, when you look at societies that are self-reliant, they're much more adaptive. They're much more willing and able to work with each other because they have the resources to do so. Instead of having centralization, this is the solution on every level. It's better for us in every way to be decentralized and self-reliant.
Absolutely. Let's go fractal. Come on, guys.
There you go.
Minimum input, maximum output. So what do you have going on now with food forest abundance? Like, you know, I have a yard. I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
I love it.
So help me learn. I don't know enough about what you're putting out right now.
Gotcha. So, okay. So, after going through this process and about, I guess it was 6 months ago now, we aired on the High Wire with Dal Bigtree, which is, he's just an amazing human being. One of the most censored human beings in the world right now, because he's going after the narrative in a big way, in a very strategic and very ethical way. He's going after him hard. And so anyway, a few months previous to that, I knew he was going to be speaking near me. So I wrote a speech and I gave it to him, and he read it and he said, "Jim, this is big. I'm very interested." So we launched on Earth Day with a TV, a 33-minute segment that he put out of us installing a food forest at his office, at his studio. And since then, we were three people in basically two states at the time. Now we're in 200 locations, 15 countries, 40 states. We are opening up networks all over the world. And this idea, whose time has come, the idea of self-reliance and the Garden of Eden, is literally going global, viral, and very quickly.
That's amazing. Yeah. Cause when it is time, guys, that's what happens, right? That's, yep, that's it. It's time. And I think everyone can see it's time. And yeah, we're all looking for a solution that's ethical. We want a solution that's not violent, that's not forceful, that is just life. And this is something that every single human being on planet Earth can get involved with, yeah, without much effort at all. And as you have shown, you know, the abundance comes. You know, I have a peach, yeah, tree I put out there in the backyard. I haven't done anything to that peach tree, and it's produced 100 peaches or so. It's only been there for a couple of years now. But, you know, then I can just take that peach tree and I can propagate that peach tree and give it to my neighbor, pass it along. I got some cloning gel, you know, stick it in there, grow it. My fig tree. Oh, God, how many fig trees could I get out of that? You know,
gosh, I love that. So I got to ask you, how much did it cost you to put in that peach tree?
You know, I don't even remember. Yeah, it was probably less than $100.
Yeah, probably, right? You could buy a peach tree. If it's a small one, you can buy it for, I don't know, $30-$40. Bigger one, maybe $70-$80. You put it in with a little soil and mulch, under $100. So your ROI, if you're just looking at cash, and now you're talking organic peaches, even though you can't label them organic, which is a big scam, but they're poison-free peaches, right? So with that poison-free, how much would those cost at the store if you're going to buy a poison-free peach, especially if it's vine-ripened?
A lot.
A lot, right? So your return on investment just in cash is over 100% in just a few years.
Yeah. If you're looking at a dollar a lemon at the grocery store.
Yeah. That's amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's just one of these things we want to bust through. What's the best investment in the world right now? I think it's food. I think there should be a combination of 3 to 6 months of stored food in your closet or under your bed, along with seeds and gardens started. So when the stored food runs out, then you've got your gardens already going, and then you can continue to maintain. And then from your gardens, you can propagate massively and help your neighbors grow food. And you talked about air layering and the gel for propagation. Like, there's so many ways to become part of the solution, you know, to become producers as well as consumers in our society. And it's joyful when you get in the mindset that this is actually fun and this is good for me on every level, right? Then it becomes not effort, but it becomes pure joy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love every moment in the garden. It fulfills me. And it's a way that people can stand up without having to go and fight riot squads, you know, have to break into the Capitol. Not have to. It's a way that of transforming life on planet Earth, just quietly, peacefully, and lovingly in your own way. And it will change everything.
Yes.
What did you think when they shut down the garden centers during the COVID lockdown? Like, all of a sudden you couldn't buy plants, you couldn't buy soil. They had it barricaded.
I know. I've studied this kind of what's going on now for about 14 years, and I studied a lot. I kind of went way down the rabbit hole, and I wasn't too surprised. I have been surprised at times, like, oh my gosh, this is just too much all at once. But it is part of the plan. In fact, Henry Kissinger said 50 years ago, he said, if you want to control nations, control oil. If you want to control people, control food. If you want to control the world's currency. And that wasn't just words from a crazy guy. That was a strategy that it was his job to implement in our world.
Yep. And he's still there.
He's, can you believe it? What? That guy's.
I saw William Shatner launch into space this week. 90 years old, flew on the Blue Origin rocket. It was about a 10-minute space flight just up into the atmosphere and out and then back again. And of course, the rocket landed on its own pad again. But it was, here's William Shatner of Star Trek finally going into space at 90 years old.
And so, awesome.
But he, when he came off that capsule, when the capsule landed and Bezos went over to greet him and, excited, William Shatner just busted out in tears. He was like that little layer of life that we have, that small blue bubble that we go through. And then instantly you're in the black. And he's like, it was death. That was death. He's like, this was life and death. And he just started crying.
Wow.
At seeing the fragility or just the simple nature of life or the fact that there's just this small layer between us and everything else. And he had a very, very impassioned response when coming off.
That is fantastic. I'm going to have to check that out on YouTube. That I might get a tear in my eye. That sounds just awesome. Yeah. You mentioned earlier this idea of, there's two ways to go about changing our world, right? There's war and bloodshed and all that horrible stuff. But to the degree that we start taking control of our own systems, our own food, water, and energy in our own communities, and control might be the wrong word, right? Because you really can't control nature. But to the degree that we design and install and grow our own food and decentralize is to the degree that we avoid the bloodshed and the war. So what we're talking about is literally the peaceful, simple solution. It's the ultimate act of rebellion simply by turning away from fear and hatred and rage and turning towards faith and courage and joy while producing for yourself.
Yes. Yes. I mean, when we're looking at all the problems that we're looking at right now, I mean, it's a global takeover at this moment. And if people don't realize that the governments and the powers that be that control the governments are trying to kill us, right? It's that we're at that level, guys. They are culling the population. They are murdering people. It's, this is a moment where it could be panic, right? This is a moment where you feel like, oh my God, fight or flight. I need to get out there and attack and do something. We need justice and all of those feelings that come along when, an alien group of, if we were to look at this, honestly, it's like a group of aliens are killing the population of planet Earth. And we're all just kind of dumbfounded imbeciles wandering around going, wow, everybody seems to be dying. And it's not even the COVID, right? It's right. Them. It's the shutdown of the supply chain, right? I mean, that's going to cause way more chaos. And then whatever they're giving people, I don't know. And then whatever's coming from what they're giving people, that's a whole nother level. As we start to look at these strange entities that are in the shot that are going into people that look like Cthulhu or the Mind Slayer flare of Stranger Things, there's weird things going into people right now. And we're literally watching the mass genocide of humanity. And the reaction of most is, oh my God, I need to fight. Right. And they don't see that. The opposite is actually the simple answer is actually the cure, and that it is the perception that changes, right? That's what exactly. comes out of this. When you start to dig in your garden and you're there in the here and now, and your perception of reality just completely changes. You don't even see any of, you know, it becomes a very different view. So yeah, talk, if you want to talk on that.
I do. So this is where when you've been as joyfully obsessed with a topic as I have for so long, I love looking at it from every perspective I can imagine. And here's what I come down to is this whole idea of what is the ultimate reality on the metaphysical level for humanity, and what is the ultimate reality on the physical level, right? Metaphysical, it's enlightenment. Right? But only Jesus or only Buddha or only these particular people can have enlightenment. We can't have it. And who tells us that? Well, the religions that are created around these amazing teachers from history, right? And that which even they said is completely bullshit. They use different words, but this idea of raising our vibration and vibrating with nature is a huge part of the solution. And then on the physical level, what will automatically manifest is we will quit poisoning our society. It is the poisons, the parasites at every level of this divine natural creation, from wood ticks and mosquitoes to these families that have been sucking the blood and the energy of the people, literally in the way of currency, where, you know, currency is just a stored value of the wealth of the productive capacity of the people. So when they get involved and they start manipulating currency, like these trillions of dollars of influx of cash into the system, where did that go? Where did that energy actually go? Well, 5% of it went to the people and everybody said, thank you, government, when about 95% of it went to the entities that they control that are centralized and that actually become pillars of our enslavement.
Absolutely. You got $600, but the Smithsonian Institute, which wasn't even open, got somewhere around $5 billion. So, yeah. You know, enjoy your $600, folks. But if you took that $600 and you went out and you planted a tree or six and food, like, I mean, when I started my garden out back, it did really well. There was a lot of abundance. I learned I definitely don't need more than two zucchini plants. Oh, my God. I didn't know what to do with all that zucchini, man.
Yep.
And, you know, my cucumbers were just growing all over. I had a 12-foot eggplant. I don't know what that thing was, honestly. It was like another form of squash or something. But, I mean, things just went off. And it was amazing. But, yet there was a lot of trouble, right? I ended up having to battle plum cuculio, which I still haven't figured out how to eradicate. There were a lot of things. I got some the mold and the you know, came in and destroyed a lot of the plants. There was, yeah. So there's a lot of things that went wrong. and currently the garden's kind of defunct at this moment and needs yeah. a restoration.
And that's what design is all about. So this whole permaculture movement started with Bill Mollison and David Holmgren back, I believe it was in the mid or early 70s. And they before that, with their lives and their understanding of natural systems. And they have put together a science that now thousands, maybe even I'd say millions of people around the world are now adding bits and pieces. In fact, just in the last 10, 15 years, the databanks of all of the different seeds and plants that are in different zones around the world have been adding up into one basic databank of information. And we are 10xing the number of edible medicinal species that we previously thought existed. So the amount of potential, we're just starting to understand the potential that humanity can have. And this goes back to the Garden of Eden was pure magic and joy and abundance and everywhere. And then there was a split. And then we are now at the pendulum has swung all the way to the least sustainable, the most destructive. But now in this great awakening process, it's starting to come back. And when I say the answer to all of this, and the only answer to all of this is literally the Garden of Eden type of scenario. It wipes out all of these tools of toxicity and poison and slavery.
The pillars of control.
Yes.
Yes. It's so simple, guys. That's the hardest part to get through, because everybody is conditioned, trained, and filled with BS, belief systems and everything else.
Yeah.
To not think this way and to, you know, go into this type of future think. And that's what's critical about the moment right now, right? Because when people start to program their future, well, I'm going to get a college degree, I'm going to get a career, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and step out, and then I'll, you know, I'll retire at 50 or, you know, have this map. And none of that matters right now, right? Like, no. Everybody's map has been cast asunder, right? They're having to make major choices right now. Do I quit my job or get the jab? I mean, the next few months, as the dark winter rolls in and we're going to start having more and more supply chain breakdowns, I mean, that's inevitable. It's inevitable that all of this is going to start to come, you know, pretty soon. Folks, you're going to be like, well, I guess I'm going to quit my job and grow a garden, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And now whole secondary economies are starting up where people who have been fired are being hired. And here's my experience. And this is what came from the Costa Rica and learning about different people. I have basically one policy when I'm working with somebody. It's about ethics. I tell people, if I have a sense that they might be kind of an NPC or a stormtrooper, I'll say, I just have one policy, and I do not work with anybody who advocates for force and violence. Now, when I say that, everybody says, well, of course not, right? And then I go on to say, okay, well, that includes forced mandates, forced any kind of medicine, forced mask wearing. Any kind of government down mandate is that's based in force and violence. I do not work with if anybody who advocates that. Well, about one out of 12 or 15 people yell at me and hang up immediately. And then I say, thank you. And then I move on, right? My point is this new economy is going to be infinitely more powerful than the unsustainable economy of lack that has really been throughout our whole system for generations. So I see good things coming, but it will be one hell of a bumpy ride.
No doubt. No doubt. But that's what we came here for. I mean, who wants to come to planet Earth and just kind of hang out? That's no fun at all. I think that's why the rich are so crazy, you know?
Yeah.
You got to strive. You need to have that adventure in life. You've got to be fulfilled and have your ups and downs, make your mistakes, you know.
Exactly. I like this idea of richness, because I've had what I thought was all, you know, enough money to last forever. But when I started learning what was going on in the world, I put every bit of my energy towards this solution that has me sitting here now. I literally, and here's the funny part. I read from this, one of my many teachers in life, Jerry Hicks. He wrote a book about how when wealthy people start losing money, they usually lose all of it before they start making money again. And then they usually do much better the second time. Well, I read that when I was still had quite a bit of money, but I was going down, and I said, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me. Well, for several years, I said, it's not going to be me until I was broke. And then in the last 6 months, millions of dollars have flowed. But to this idea of being rich, I see it very differently now. Like any one of these multi-billionaires or 100 millionaires around the world, if they wanted to be the most powerful person in the world, which a lot of them do, right? That's why they store billions of dollars. If they took 10% of their money and they put it into a campaign that would lead to the mass adoption of food forests everywhere, they would be the most loved and therefore the most powerful person in the world, just by the fact that they're giving and they're not storing that energy. Like you mentioned the word flow, right? When we can keep that energy flowing back into society, then it's better for me to actually build a food forest for a church or for a food bank, and then turn that into marketing, and then get 10 more, and then do the same and do the same. So that's what we're all about. That's why we don't have patents. We don't have NDAs or non-competes. That's why everything we do is basically open source. Every plan we have, people can steal our business plan. We want them to, because this is it.
Well, let's tell everybody how they can get involved in all of this and where it's all going and how we can join in and making money at this.
Awesome. That's a great question. So to really change the world, it has to be scalable. And so looking back at my history and studying and reading a lot of books on different models, I originally was attached to the franchise model, but I spent about $250,000 and I got a 244 page FDD, which is a franchise disclosure document, and then an 89 page operations manual. And it made me sick to hold those documents because they were all based on lawyers and governmente. I threw the whole pile of shit in the trash. And now we have a 2-page document that is based on the voluntary exchange of value, which is true regenerative capitalism. Because teaching capitalism as opposed to communism and socialism, which are rooted in violence and force, is part of what we do. So we've got an entity called a cooperative, a food forest cooperative. And we just opened up New Zealand, Australia. We're going all over the world. And our job at corporate is to serve the cooperative. And their job is to help people grow food in their communities and in their areas.
Right. So you've got the groundwork that allows everyone to the marketing, the all of that stuff that none of us want to do, like an artist that needs to promote his own stuff. It's something that's just not in your nature to do. So you've got that all covered.
Yes. And the way you said it was perfect. I don't like the computer. I don't like dealing with paperwork and all that stuff. So we created a team of experts that specialize in different pieces of those puzzles. And then we do the exchange of value. So in other words, if somebody says, okay, I want a food forest co-op and I'm in New York or California, say, okay, great. It's $2,950. And we've already put in tens of thousands of dollars worth of energy and professionalism into the marketing platform, the shirts and the hats and the videos and all the different content. And then all of the things we create are for our cooperatives, so that all the cooperative has to do is go out and shake hands and tell people what they do, and they can use every bit of our platform to make their jobs a lot easier. And in exchange for what we provide, we take either 7 or 12% of the gross, 7% if they generate the lead, and an extra 5% if we generate the lead. And here's where it gets really fun. This business, I really sincerely believe this is the most important business in the world. It's literally the foundation of freedom that we're creating, and health and wellness and reversing mass extinction and all those good things. So where was I? So many different little neat details coming in.
Yeah, we were at the idea of...
So bottom line is we have the whole co-op foundation in place. Oh, here's where it is. Our average install currently is about $12,000 to $15,000. And now we're going to be the first entity that I know of in the world that also finances the installation of food forests. That was the piece I wanted to get out, because that's a big deal. So now let's say our average backyard install is $20,000. It can be financed over time for like $380 a month, and it can produce far more than $380 per month worth of food.
Right.
So it becomes a net cash flow positive within the first 6 months, and then incredibly positive after a few years as the perennials start to come in. So with a $20,000 install and a gross margin of about 40% for the owner's walking away after a 4 or 5 day job with about $7,000 or $8,000 in their pocket.
Wow. Yes. Well, guys, if you're looking for a new job, I think you just found it. This would be the blessing that saved the world. I think this is what we've been after and looking for, and trying to find a way to balance the freedom and the capitalism that we want. Because
yes,
it's necessary to have that at this point. You know, there's maybe once all the fractalization has gone on and there's food forests everywhere, not everybody's going to need an income, but at this point you do. And yes, this is a way to have an income and save the world all at the same time. I love it. I love it.
It's so much fun. It's so fulfilling on every level. And this is something that blows some people's minds too. Our business, the whole business model we've created is unsustainable for the simple fact that you alluded to. Within 20 years, there's going to be food forests everywhere. So we are going to work ourselves out of a job intentionally, because can you imagine that world where there's abundance everywhere, where we literally have the ability to solve world hunger in 10 years?
I can. I really can. I know it's possible. There's no doubt in my mind, and it just requires people to change their mind. When I think of how much effort my neighbor goes into her lawn, oh my God, and her fruitless garden, it's just, I mean, you know, thousands of dollars keeping that damn lawn green.
Yeah.
And for nothing, for absolutely nothing. And then being one that has wandered this earth and just, you know, well, in the second hour, we'll get into more of this, the idea of plant medicine and eating habits and how this affects you, because you don't feel the poisons at this point until you purify yourself. And then when you do, you can't go back. And we're going to get much deeper into that into the second hour. The ideas of ayahuasca and plant medicines and fasting, and how, you know, the body will speak to you on food. It'll tell you what you need. But 40 million acres of lawn, folks.
Isn't that nuts? The American lawn takes more resources, more poisons than any other crop. And when you look at an American lawn compared to a natural system, you're talking about a biological desert. The lawn represents the death of the system. There's far fewer living organisms in that same amount of space as if it were a natural space. And of course, as we put the poisons in, they go throughout the whole system and they kill the system.
Yeah, and bringing only the negative entities into there, the mosquitoes, like you mentioned, and the you know, just endless spiders, and you know, the amount of life has become nullified.
Right. Yeah. It's stacked, it's layers. And that's why I'm starting to see this from a very divine process that we're going through. You know, it's really like we are playing this amazing game, and this is the end game. And are we going to wake up or not? That seems to be the win for me, is to wake up and to live without fear, to live with joy and abundance and faith. And that's the starting point for me, where I finally shed the last bit of fear. And I just said, hey, I'm going full speed ahead. And since then, and I'll get into this a second hour too, the magical like components have been just freaking mind blowing.
Yes. Well, folks, you know, if you can't believe in this, then it can't happen. Right. And that's the key ingredient here. And it doesn't even require you seeing it to its fulfillment or even the full fruition of it all. But just starting, you know, even if you just put one plant in your garden, if you just put, you know, enough to sustain yourself, then that's the beginning of it all. But the key ingredient here, obviously, is getting the community involved, having your neighbors come by and go, oh, wow, you know, I didn't know I could grow food here. I know that I inspired the neighbor a couple of streets down. He's now got cucumbers going. He saw how beautiful my cucumbers were. I had them spiraling up these trellises and such. You know, it was a real work of art. Had hummingbirds coming in and you know, sharing in my fruits and flowers, and it just, you know, the chipmunks running around. I felt like Snow White, you know. Like,
exactly. That doesn't that feel so good? Just having this life, the butterflies going by and the birds, and all of these things are part of this divine experience where they bring us joy, and they are being systematically taken out of the system. I used to just love when I was a kid seeing fireflies and lightning bugs everywhere. Now, the other day, I saw my first lightning bug in about 10 years.
Yes. Yep. Well, yeah, it's This is it, guys. This is the turning point, and we are the turning point, and this will make it all different. So, guys, let's go fractal. Let's add that into our vocabulary as a new verb. To go fractal is minimum input, maximum output, guys. It really is, you know, you get to selfishly serve because you're just enjoying yourself in your garden, and, you know, it changes the entire planet. It changes life on Earth. And it's so simple and so fun and so beautiful that you'll see. And then once that works out and the freedom that comes along with it, the ability to just travel and go wherever without fear, it really will happen, guys. It's written into our souls. Yes. That's why it's written into our holy books. That's why. And, you know, to take a statement from Jesus, right? These miracles and more you will do, right? This is the truth.
It is the truth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. All of these statements that have become pretty famous are famous because they're absolutely real. The law of attraction is the most logical and powerful law because one thought begets another. We're not sitting here thinking one chain of thought and all of a sudden we switch over to exactly the opposite. It's an energy thing. It's a resonance thing. So then if that's the case, then we get to plan our thoughts to some degree. We get to think with intention. And it all starts for me with meditation, with allowing the mind to go silent and then intending a path forward instead of letting the governmente tell us the path forward.
There you go. Shut off your television and feel.
Yes.
That's what it takes. And that is the time. So I hope you guys take this to heart, that this solution is simple and that it will work and it will be amazing. And you want to be a part of this and you want to see this future happen. So just envision it, bring it to yourself and bring it to life because it will happen, guys. And we're all here with you. So don't think you're alone. As a matter of fact, foodforestabundance.com is your one-stop need for everything, for the plans, for where is your setup now? You're in Central Florida and you got something going on there?
Yeah, something epic going on. So we are developing a community called Galt's Landing, which John Galt from Atlas Shrugged, who created the free energy device and then a separate economy and society. So this is on 52 acres and it is my dream. I grew up fishing on the lake and this is a 430 acre private lake. We've got the only dock on the lake and it's loaded with bass. And then my partner is a pilot and there's a mile long paved runway on the east coast of the property. We don't own it, but we're planning to someday soon. And every home site has its own food, water, and energy systems, and they're completely off grid. So, and we're also building a studio. So we're going to show people on a daily basis that living this kind of off grid lifestyle is actually the epitome of joy and abundance and freedom and luxury, because most people currently think living off grid means an outhouse.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Out there peddling your energy.
Exactly. Yes, it's the combination of the best of today's technologies and the best of today's education and wisdom, which is a lot of permaculture principles, with combined, basically. It's technology from computers and technology from a divine source combined to create a world of radical freedom.
Yes. And it's all being held back. Even something as simple. I just found a video on one of my old flash drives from a Fox News article, a Fox News story about the water engine and Brown's gas and the ability to create fire from water, and that it didn't even burn your hand when you put your hand to the torch, but anything that you put the torch to, it reacts to. So if you have a tungsten rod in front of it, it'll just eat right through it. A cinder block, it'll eat right through it. But you put your hand in front of it and it won't, because it only reacts to the actual ingredients that are there. And I think that's kind of a key of where we're at now in our reaction to things has to be in this life matter. Instead of the anger, the violence, the, you know, everything that's being programmed.
Exactly. One of my favorite stories is Bill Mollison's Tromp story. If you look on YouTube, T-R-O-M-P-E. And a tromp is a device where you've got running water and you've got a tube and you put some straws and or some holes at the top of this tube and you allow the water to fall, and the water will fall faster than the bubbles will rise. So then you have this storage tank for the bubbles down 100, 150 feet. And as the water's falling, it brings those bubbles to the storage tank. And then because they're underground, it creates compressed air. And all the cars in Melbourne back, I believe it was in the 30s and 40s, they were all run on compressed air, which is basically free energy once you put the systems in. And what happened to those cars? Of course, that technology got sucked up by the people that are controlling the world on every level.
That's it. So once we combine all of these things, and I've seen people make Brown's gas engines out of, kitchen parts. You know, the knowledge is out there, and it's just the ability to use it. And since we're seeing the ultimate clampdown on humanity right now, it's the time for the fractal expansion to occur. So this is it, guys. This is our moment, the moment we've been waiting for, and this is the solution. And if it seems too simple to you, if it seems like, you know, you should be out chasing senators or yelling at people in the restroom or whatever it is that people think changes the world, that's not it, right? This is it. This is the key ingredient right here. Yes. So let me put in a big thank you to producer Steve, associate producer here at freemantv.com, and for keeping everyone coming past my door here, bringing wonderful guests like Jim Gale and bringing us into this new world. Steve, thank you so much. And of course, guys, if you want to get a guest on freemantv.com or on the Free Zone, write to Steve. That is producer Steve at freemantv.com. And of course, I'm always open to your letters, freeman@freemantv.com. And I wanted to also thank you all and tell you all that you are receiving tons and tons and tons of great karma for the help that you brought to Angela for her surgery. She was just overwhelmed and overjoyed, couldn't believe that had even occurred. And it again shows us the state that we're in, and the idea of minimum input, maximum output. It's the key ingredient to our quantum age. It is how we can do everything, because the world has never been given this power before, ever. In all of its existence, humanity has never had global communication and right. The ability to send an idea across the universe or across the globe within seconds. And everyone sees it, you know, immediately everyone knows this is the moment. So get out there, plant some seeds, whether they're the metaphysical type into your neighbor's minds or whether they're the literal type into your ground, because it is time, because there's not going to be a choice here in the near future. You're going to be very thankful that you built yourself a garden, especially when they're coming around and closing garden centers on you. I mean, that was for me, Jim, a moment that just said, okay, this is war.
It is. And when I heard that the government was paying the farmers 1.5 times the value of their crop for the farmers to destroy their crop, yes, or kill or call their animals or something, I realized that it could be, and it probably is going to be this winter or next winter. And I'm really leaning towards this winter, where the food supply chain and all the supply chains are completely done. And that's going to be the time of the forced great awakening, either awake or perish. And I'm voting for you to wake up and thrive. And then not just thrive for yourself, but demonstrate what it's like to be a thriver, to be in joy of life. And so my job, which is a very designed job, is going to have the best life I can possibly have. And then by way of videoing my life at Galt's Landing and showing that we're going to create our own wine, our own rum, our own everything. Literally, we're going to create everything we need right from the property and live in joy and abundance, right? And so we're not going to be farmers. I don't want to be a farmer the way most people think of a farmer. I don't want to be baling hay and all that stuff. I want to do what you're talking about, the maximum output for the minimal input. And it starts with design and then installation according to natural principles, mimicking nature. And then you can literally let it be and it will just keep going.
And going and going and going. And going. Let's go fractal, folks. That's the way it goes. Right, man. All right. All right. So we're going to take this off into the member section, get all kinds of weird into the ideas of plant medicine and all the wild worlds that come from that. So thank you all so much for supporting me. You know, you are another example of how the minimum input, maximum output continues, because a little bit of support from you as becoming a member here on freemantv.com goes out to the whole world. So, you know, with a simple $8 charge, you can fulfill the world, change the world by keeping me on the air and keeping these wonderful guests from ever going out to everybody out there. So thank you all so much, and we'll see you next week.